Hey, fans, welcome to the Fair But Firm show with Joe Cortez here, your host, and my sidekick here, John Zimmel. Hey, guys, sorry about the little technical difficulties, but we got the scene going now. John,
yes, sir.
Last week, Madison Square Garden, Lomachenko and Rigondeaux, it was a fight that I was not pleased with. I mean, not to take anything away from Lomachenko.
Yeah.
He fought a great fight. But
competitively.
But I didn't like the ending. You know, the way Rigondeaux just decided to pack it in.
I hurt my hand. And
Clay May was his hand that was hurt.
I mean, you can see his hand was swollen, but fighters fight through that all the time, man.
Hey, my hands are swollen.
I know. I see them. I was going to mention something. You want to give up on this podcast?
Look how swollen my hands are. Aren't they big? They got big all of a sudden?
Yeah, man. Hey, if you want to quit, no one will blame you.
Hey, listen, you know what? If you break one hand.
You hit with the other hand.
You got the other one. The right one will get you.
I couldn't agree more, man. It was disappointing.
The right one will get you. The left one will.
Let me ask you this. If you land less than three punches a round, when do you break your hand? Like, when did he do it? Or, you know, was it a bruise? But you know, when does that even happen?
You know, I'm not looking for any excuses for Rigondeaux. I take my hat off to him. He's a good fighter.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's an all-timer.
Yeah, but I think his time was up.
Yeah.
37 years of age.
Going up that much weight, man.
He went up in weight class, and he went up in. He got the youth in front of him. The guy about the most technical
and same
guy.
Thing. I'm not trying to make any excuses for him. He got straight up outclassed. I mean, yes, he was older, but he was beaten from start to finish.
You know, there's There's things that happen in boxing. Sometimes the fans walk away kind of disappointed. I remember when Roberto Duran fought Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, yeah. You know, That's the one that people keep bringing up.
You know, if it was, hey, no matter, he walked away. How can you walk away in the middle of a fight? You know?
Crazy, man.
I mean, it wasn't that he was taking a pounding, but I mean,
he was just embarrassed and he couldn't win.
He just probably felt he couldn't.
When you feel like you can't win?
I don't know how that feels because
you're a champion.
I never felt like I'm going to lose. No matter what, in life, anything.
Yeah.
You just don't walk away, man. You try. You say, yeah, you may get lucky, hit that one punch.
That's all you need, man.
I mean, I remember refereeing George Foreman, okay?
Yeah.
George Foreman was losing every round when he was fighting Michael Mora. The guy was 45 years old. Hey, John.
Yeah.
That guy stuck with it. He had the guts. And you know what? That one punch, that one straight punch.
That's all you need.
Left foot and a right-hand punch. Boom. He knocked out Michael
Moore.
And
that's what's beautiful about boxing is just that anything can happen. What's his name in the middle of it? Timothy Bradley said that during the fight. That's what I love about boxing. All you need is one good punch. All you need is one good whatever. And it's true. And then we go from that.
I'm going to call Carlos, my boy Carlos, out in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, call Carlos.
Who's a big fight fan. And he listens to all the fights. He watches them.
Yeah.
He's a real true fight fan, a big
guy.
I'm going to get him on here in a second. Carlos is one of the best sports writers in Puerto Rico. Carlos, you on the line there?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay.
How you doing?
Okay, Carlos, sorry about the technical difficulties we had, but we got you on the air now. Carlos, first of all, I want to welcome you to the Fair But Firm show with my sidekick here, John Zimmer.
How you doing, Carlos?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm well, man.
Okay, Carlos, the fight Saturday night, Lomachenko and Rigondeaux, Madison Square Garden. What's your take on that? Dime algo. ¿Qué pasó?
Wow, man. Lomachenko, high tech. Oh, man. This guy, for me, is the best pound for pounder right now in boxing. He don't want to say that. Él no quiere que le digan así. Él no quiere right. que le llamen el mejor libra por libra. But right. he is the best pound for pound, and he showed that last Saturday on the Madison Square Garden.
No, there's no question about it. He showed he had all the ring mechanics.
Yeah, all the skills. Yeah,
all the ring mechanics. He was so skillful. He's like a very technical sharpshooter and knew every move in there. Even when Guillermo Rigondeaux was holding him on the clinch, how he pulled to slip away from the clinch and punch him. You know, I mean, he knew everything about.
All the tools, man.
He had all the tools. He bought everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Rigondeaux got discouraged, Carlos, and he just felt like, I can't beat this guy. It reminded me, I was just telling John, it reminded me about Roberto Duran against Sugar Ray Leonard. I mean, you know, he just walked away in the middle of a fight. How can you do that?
Well, man, you know, I need to first say that in la primera ocasión, when I first heard about that Lomachenko estaría peleando en profesional, I was very incredulous because, you know, one guy with his first fight fighting for the title.
Right.
In his first fight, fighting for the title.
Yeah.
For me was
unheard of.
Come on, WBO.
Yeah, you're right.
But he won it.
But he won it, right?
Yeah.
But you know, Carlos, you're bringing up a point that I remember way back in the 60s, in the early 60s, there was a heavyweight named Pete Rademacher. He was a fighter that was a European fighter that nobody knew about, but he was Olympic.
That was a long time ago, huh?
He was Olympic champion. He fought Floyd Patterson, his first pro fight. He had Patterson down. But then Patterson ended up beating him and knocking him out. And it was one of those things that, you know, you get to see the crazy things that happen in boxing. And Rigondeaux didn't have it. I mean, a two-time Olympic champion, Rigondeaux. So was Lomachenko. And Lomachenko, you know, had like 396 fights. Had only one loss in the amateurs.
My God.
And then he ended Then he ended up finding Guillermo, who had 463 fights in the amateurs.
And don't forget that the two guys won two Olympic medals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, both
first time that's ever happened.
First
time in the history of boxing.
You saw some crazy things.
That was history that we saw.
It's crazy things that happen in boxing. But you know what? That's boxing for you. But Carlos, tell me a little bit about boxing in Puerto Rico.
Well, the boxing in Puerto Rico, we got right now. Where first, before or after Maria? we got it because we got a new history in the island.
I know the hurricane in Maria, the island was terrible. But I mean, tell me a little bit about what's happening in boxing right now in Puerto Rico.
Well, we know you know that Miguel Cotto retired from boxing a few weeks ago, but we have right now three boxing champions, and that's very important for the Puerto Rican boxing. We got Jesus Rojas is one of the champions in the WBA, and also Angel Acosta and Alberto El Explosivo Machado. These three guys are amazing guys. Y van a dar mucho de qué hablar en el boxeo rentado para todos aquellos latinos que nos están escuchando.
Right, right.
Así que, sorry about my Spanglish, but
I like it.
Those guys that are hearing us, you know, que nos están escuchando, pues, que también nos escuchen en ambas lenguas, English and Spanish.
They're listening. Well, we teach some of the English-speaking people a little bit of Spanish, like ¿qué pasa? Hello, hola, ¿cómo está?
It's like Dora the Explorer boxing edition.
Dora Explorer, that's good.
Carlos, but you're mentioning about the three male champions. You got a female champion there as well.
Yes, and also we got Amanda Serrano, five-time division champion. But you know what? Amanda is now now training for the MMA. So
MMA.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah, MMA.
I think there's more money in that as far as women goes.
That's the reason. That's the reason that she is jumping to MMA.
I couldn't tell you the last women's boxing match.
Is she going to be going against McGregor?
We don't know, but you know, she's training with Maisha Taylor. Maisha Taylor is former.
Oh, Misha
champion.
Tate. Misha Tate.
Misha Tate.
Yeah, she's famous.
Thank you. She's training with her in New York City. So, well, we'll see what happened with Amanda Serrano. She's an amazing girl and great athlete also.
That's exciting, man.
Carlos, question. Yeah. How do you see the future of Rigondeaux? What's going to happen when he's 37 years of age? He only has that one loss on his record now. How do you see? I mean, Lomachenko got beaten by Salido, El Bandido, Salido, Orlando Salido.
Yeah. Orlando Salido. Yeah. He's retired also.
Salido lost his fight Saturday night to Roman, Miguel Roman. And now you see that. So I was hoping that Salido will win that fight because he's the only one that had beaten Lomachenko.
That would have been a good next fight,
you know.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that he would have won Saturday. I was there Saturday night, and I was hoping that he would have won. If he would have matched him up against Lomachenko for the rematch, but that's not going to happen.
Sorry about it. Are you surprised that Salido's loss?
No, no, but he's 37 years of age. I'm not surprised because he was fighting a young, tough fighter.
He got beat bad.
But too. I was hoping that he would have won for the simple reason that that would have been the rematch with Lomachenko.
Another washed-up fighter for Lomachenko to fight?
Yeah, I told him he needs to retire since Francisco Vargas lost a draw, you know.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Orlando Salido es uno de los grandes, one of the biggest champions of Mexico.
Yeah, he's a
la gente tiene que entender que este muchacho es espectacular. Le dio una grande victoria a México. Fue campeón luego he lost 10 fights and then became a champion against Juanma López in 2011.
In Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Then for the rematch again, he stopped him again, right?
Yeah.
Salido's a great champion,
that's
man.
Right.
He had a great career. Yeah,
no, Salido's a tough one.
But you need to learn when is the time to retire.
Let me ask a question. Did Wilfredo Vasquez stop Salido?
Wilfredo Vasquez...
Okay, I got to mix up with somebody else. Anyway,
speaking of knowing when to walk away, though, yeah, Miguel Cotto.
Yeah, but look, Miguel Cotto did the right thing.
He fights against Roman Martinez, Rocky Martinez.
Rocky Martinez.
Yeah. Right. He lost the first one here in the island, and then was a draw.
Ah, that's right, Rocky Martinez.
Yeah,
what's happening with Rocky Martinez? He said, did he retire or what?
Oh, he's playing baseball with his kids.
Oh, no, over his kids. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me he's going to go to the major leagues, man.
You never know, man.
His son played good baseball in the island.
I know your friend, Beltran, Carlos Beltran, is your friend. I know that. And he just retired. And he just won he won his first World Series championship ring. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Carlos Iván won his... Carlos Beltran, his ring in the championship, in the World Series. He's very happy with that. And, you know, he's a great guy, Carlos Beltran.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing a lot here in the island with the crisis that left us, Maria.
Yeah, I know he's been very much involved volunteering and donating a lot. I know he donated over $1 million, and he bought 4 plane loads of goods into Puerto Rico to help out in Puerto Rico.
And he was not the only. He was not the only. Tuvimos otros como José Juan Barrea.
Yeah.
What the other one? Iván Bosch Rodriguez.
Okay.
The Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. So
a lot of athletes
came
bring
forward.
A lot of, yeah.
They came forward to volunteering and put up their money where their mouth is at.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was good. I was there in Puerto Rico last month, and I saw for myself. You know, it's so sad what happened in Puerto Rico with the Hurricane Maria, but I'm going back there again hopefully in January, February to finish up a little documentary I'm doing about Puerto Rico. I just see that it's so devastating. But I know that Miguel Cotto, what he lost the other night against Aram Ali, that was another sad story for Puerto Rico because they want to see a fighter, a legend like him, definitely a Hall of Famer, International Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He'll definitely be in there. But I was hoping that he would have pulled it out and gone home with a victory and brought a little bit of happiness to Puerto Rico that's so sad right now what's happening. I mean, still some of the water and electricity in Puerto Rico is not even in place yet.
That's amazing. Hey, I got a question. When you look at a guy like Miguel Cotto, a true champion, a true warrior, and he tears his bicep tendon, and he still fights through it, doesn't even tell his trainer. And then you see a fighter like a Guillermo Rigondeaux who bruises his hand.
I know.
Well, I mean, what is the parallels there? I mean, what do you see differently in that?
In one word?
Yeah, one word.
In one word? Okay. Cotto, warrior.
Yes,
that's warrior. Cotto's warrior.
Unquestionably.
Yeah, warrior, yeah.
Yeah, Cotto's a warrior.
That's it, man.
That's it, man. And not to throw shade on, you know, Rigondeaux or anything. I just it's interesting because it's just 1 week later after you see a guy like that around the same age fight through an injury that was more severe.
That's No, but that's happened with you. Get a fighter like Rigondeaux that is frustrated.
It's what
against,
it was.
Against a guy like Lomachenko. Lomachenko is a machine. You know,
he fights
180 degrees around.
He's like everywhere.
Throwing punch, throwing punch like the movie. What's the name of the movie?
Rocky.
No, Rocky. No, the one that's. I forgot the name. The Matrix.
The Matrix.
Throwing punch like Matrix.
He hits angles you've never seen before. You would never think.
He threw three
right uppercuts in a row. That was insane.
Really, and it's very. It's not common when I said that, but I'm very impressed with Vasyl Lomachenko.
I'm very impressed. No question about it. He is definitely the maestro in boxing. The guy,
he's amazing, right?
He's got it all. You know, he got what it takes.
He's talking about going to 135 pounds. So
yeah, well, you're gonna face some tough guys up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of good monsters in that division.
I like that Mickey Garcia, who's at 135 now. And I'd like to see him against Mickey Garcia.
He's a golden boy, right? Mickey Garcia?
I don't know.
Mickey Garcia, you know what?
No, he
was with Al Haymon.
Yeah, okay. Isn't he with Rock Nation now?
Rock Nation? I don't know.
We were just looking at their boxes. Anyway, I'm just curious.
I'm looking here in my computer, but
the thing is, he's a good one. He's going to be a good challenger for.
I agree.
For Lomachenko.
Well, yeah. In the 135 pounds, you have Robert Eastern in the IBF. You have Mikey Garcia in WBC and Jorge Linares.
Linares
is good.
WBO, and it's vacant the WBO title, so I think Vasyl Lomachenko is going to fight against Raymundo Beltran for the
WBO bacon title.
Yeah,
that'd be a good fight too.
Yeah, because the real deal for Vasyl Lomachenko will be Felix Verdejo. But you know what happened with Verdejo?
Whatever happened to Felix Verdejo? He's a rising star of Puerto Rico. Everybody was looking forward to seeing this Felix Diamante.
We don't know about Felix Verdejo, yo. We don't know anything about this.
I like to get a hold of him and grab him by the ear and pull him and say, come on, what's the matter? You're a rising superstar in boxing.
You need to take his head with a bulldozer, you know, trying in this guy, because este muchacho es el mejor.
Yeah.
Felix Verdejo, gente, ha sido uno de los mejores. But he needs more heart in the ring.
Well, you know, there was talking, man, when Hector Camacho Jr., when he was coming up, and everybody thought because his father was such a great fighter, that this son will be, you know, follow his father's footsteps, you know, same name, you know. He didn't have it to go all the way like the father.
Look at Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.
Chris
Eubanks Jr. is actually pretty good, though. I like him.
Chris Eubanks Jr. is a decent fighter.
And he fights different from his dad. They're different. It's crazy.
Well, he's more skillful.
Yeah, he really is, though.
You know, he went to his dad, Chris Eubanks. I refereed his fight when he fought, I believe it was Joe Calzaghe.
Yeah, yeah.
I refereed that fight back in England back in the early 90s.
Chavez Sr. was spectacular.
Yes,
Simply spectacular.
Listen.
His son is a spectacular running away from the
beans.
You know.
Oh, man. Was there something about his weight that he said?
No, no. Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. is a legend, definitely in boxing. One of the greatest of all times. You know,
totally agree.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, not only for Mexico but for the world, for the whole boxing. Oh. He was like one of the top 10 in the world in the history of boxing.
Mm-hmm. I can see that for sure, man.
You know, when you talk about the history, you're not talking about the year. You're talking about in the history of boxing.
Yeah, just ever. Pound for pound, all time.
And you put him in there, and you just like you put Roberto Duran, just like you put in Joe Lewis.
Spots are filling up.
You know, really top-notch with Wilfredo Gomez. You get so many.
No,
they, they were the great ones. How about Sanchez? They were the great fighters. And, but you're talking about the top 10 in the world in the history. You got to go back to the days of Jack Dempsey.
Oh, my God. Like, dude, back you go back day, forever.
You know, I remember talking about Jack Dempsey. I was just talking to somebody the other day. He used to have a restaurant on 49th Street and 8th Avenue called Dempsey's. And he would always stand in that corner shaking hands with people, you know. And I remember walking out there meeting him and shaking his hand. I was a teenager. I had just won the New York Golden Gloves Open Championship. And I was walking down from Madison Square Garden. I was just happy to be in the neighborhood there. And I went and shook his hand. I said, wow, this is Jack Dempsey. I heard so much of him. But then another guy that I met one time was Jake LaMotta.
Oh, wow.
Jake LaMotta. I met Jake LaMotta.
Rest in peace.
Back in the mid-80s. And then I recognized him. We were on 55th Street and 3rd Avenue in Manhattan, New York. And we shook hands, and I said, you're the champ, Jake LaMotta. He looked at me and said, come on, you're too young. What do you know about me? I said, you're one of the great ones. Then years later, after I got inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame, of which he's also an inductee, we got to talk again. We became good friends up until he passed away.
That was a good picture of you two up in Sarasota.
Yeah.
I think that's on our Twitter, by the way.
In Canastota.
Canastota.
Do you remember what his first name of Jake LaMotta?
They used to call him the Raging Bull.
His real name was Giacobbe.
Giacobbe.
Really?
Giacobbe Jake LaMotta. Yes.
Yeah. That is an Italian name. Giacobbe.
Giacobbe.
All right. Hey, fans out there, you see?
There you go.
We didn't get Carlos Narvaez on the phone here for nothing. The guy's a walking Bible. He knows his stuff.
He's got the trivia down.
He's out from Puerto Rico. And Carlos, you know, I'm down to go out there soon to be with you. I know you and I have been writing our column in the Vocero newspaper, V-O-C-E-R-O newspaper in Puerto Rico, every Friday for the last 4 years. We have it's called Contragolpe. In English, it's counterpunch. Mm. And we've been doing a column every week.
We are always throwing punches.
Every Friday. You call me on Thursday, you ask me the question, I throw them back at you whether you agree with me or not. That's why we call it counterpunch.
I like that.
Contragolpes. And a bit of successful column. People look up to the column that we put up. They want to see it every Friday. I think we missed maybe 3 or 4 Fridays in the last 4 years.
Oh, wow.
But you know, Carlos and I, John, we've been doing this for covering the
That's
sport.
That's cool, man. And you've told me about it, but it's cool to talk to him. He's just a cool guy. I've heard a lot about you, Carlos. It's nice to actually, talk to you.
Oh, pleasure.
No, I mean it.
Hey, Carlos, tell me, Carlos, what else is happening in Puerto Rico with the boxing? Any good news? Anything new?
Well, today we receive a press release. I got here in my desk. This guy, you remember, McWilliam Arroyo.
Yeah.
McWilliam Arroyo will be fighting again.
Oh, yeah, now he has a brother.
Yeah, McJoe. But McJoe, you know, he's no fighting. He's not retired, but he's not fighting at this time. But McWilliam Arroyo. HBO announced that McWilliam Arroyo will be facing Carlos Cuadras. Carlos Cuadras is a great former champion.
Yeah.
And both we're facing February 24 in the Forum. So in a super fly card.
Yeah.
So that's a good news for McWilliam Arroyo. You know, the last fight of McWilliam Arroyo was against Chocolatito.
Yeah.
Gonzalez. Yeah, not, in 2016.
That was 105 pounds, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he's going up in weight now against.
He's going up. He's going to fight right now in 115 pounds. So
yeah,
super flyweight.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You got these guys that they're moving.
Yeah, that's good news.
It's good news, but when they move up in weight, you know, sometimes like Chocolatito Gonzalez, remember he moved up in weight. And he fought that fighter from Thailand.
Rungvisai.
Yeah,
Rungvisai.
Yeah,
And I saw Ruben, what happened.
Rubensai.
Rubensai. I know. It's hard.
Rubensai.
It's harder than you think.
No, no. It's very difficult to pronounce.
It's not like Gonzalez or Torres or Cortez.
No.
I bet you if you were in Thailand, they would say the same thing about Gonzalez and Torres.
No, no.
Hey, you know why he became a fighter, right? Because everybody was making fun of his last name.
Rubensai?
I got to fight, man, to defend myself. he turned out to be a decent fighter.
Decent. He beat the guy who started the year pound for pound number one. He beat him twice this year.
Stopped him twice.
Twice. I mean, the first one was controversial. The second one wasn't. Flat out beat him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was how he knocked him out.
Yes.
How he knocked the guy out. Took a Lito Gonzalez pound for pound, and 6 months later, he's not even in the top.
He just dropped.
He's not even in the top ten. He's out.
He might retire.
You know what? Chocolatito Gonzalez is facing a tough moment in his life with the disease of his with the death of his trainer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's a very tough time for the Nicaraguan guy.
Yeah, but it was tough for him also going up in weight. He went up at the 2 weight classes. And, you know, when you go up in weight like that, that's why I was talking about McWilliams going up in weight to fight Cuadras. That's not going to be easy for him. He may find himself in a difficult situation.
Cuadras is a good draw, though. I mean, I see why you
said
it. But 10 pounds is 10 pounds, man. I mean, look at what did Rigondeaux gain? 8 pounds? That's it? And he was noticeably slower than he was last fight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, talking about going up in weight when
Canelo?
Canelo fought
Triple G.
Yeah, Triple G. You saw what happened. He went up to middleweight division. When he got in front of Triple G, he started getting punched around a little bit. He started feeling that pressure of a middleweight.
Yeah.
He had to go to Plan B, and Plan B was defense.
Yeah,
and
30-second flurry and then dance around.
Yeah, he wasn't doing much. Nothing to do. Different going up in weight. It hurts you a lot. Mm-hmm. I've seen it in the ring when I've been with some of these fighters. I said, "Wow, dude, this guy doesn't have it to him. What happened?" And it's the weight class. They move up in weight. Chocolatito Gonzalez went up and weight. He was 105 pounds. Nobody can touch him at 105 pounds. When he went up to 115, you saw what happened there.
Even if you look at Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., he had to go down in weight against Canelo when he was like insanely dehydrated. And you don't make excuses for anybody, but weight plays such an impact.
Absolutely.
It's unbelievable.
Going up or going down, going up or going down is going to hurt you. You got to be a natural.
Look what happened with Miguel Cotto against Saul Canelo Alvarez.
Yes.
Miguel Cotto is a 145-pounds fighter.
Yeah,
Miguel Cotto is a 147, sorry.
Yeah, he walks around at that weight. You know,
exactly.
He never puts on the weight.
Yeah,
he's a small...
Look how much he made for this last fight. He made, correct me if I'm wrong, 150.1, right?
Yeah.
Or 0.6.
Yeah.
What means that?
It was even hard for him to make 156 super welterweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but people don't understand. The fans will understand. Say, what's going on with this guy tonight?
Yeah.
If you know boxing, you got to stop and think and say, what's going on? Is it the years that he had? Is he getting too old? Is he too light? Is he too heavy? There's a lot of things that that's why you go, they say, I got to go back to the drawing board and go back and see what we can do to
it's
come back
so much
better.
That, too.
And that's what it is.
People just
see
one guy's a bum and the other guy's a champ, but it's so much more than that.
I mean,
talking to people after this Lomachenko fight, and they're like, who is this other nobody? And it's like, no, he's a champion. Rigondeaux's he's a beast out there. He's 37, went up 2 weight classes, and he fought the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an impressive fight for me just watching Lomachenko dismantle this guy who's been a rock star.
Now, Lomachenko has a lot of years left in boxing. He's only 29, so he's got a long ways to go, and he could probably go up in division. I would say he could probably go up. Well, he's definitely going to go up to a lightweight.
Yeah.
And who knows, but he may end up going to 140. He got the height to fight at 140 as well. So, you know, that's where the money going to be really coming in.
Well, I don't know if he's ready or he will be ready for the 140 pounds because he's 120, 122, 126,
That's a lot of pounds.
Yeah, 140, maybe 135, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
The guy is...
Carlos, I remember Bob Foster. one of the greatest light heavyweight champions of the world. Okay, he went up against what? Joe Frazier. Yeah, I think he went up against Muhammad Ali, if I'm not mistaken. You know, these kind of guys, they're small, and they used to jump all these divisions to fight a heavyweight. You know, and I remember Archie Moore was the light heavyweight champion, and he fought Muhammad Ali for the heavyweight championship, and Muhammad Ali, as a matter of fact, it was not a championship fight. It was one of the first main events for Muhammad Ali. It was Cassius Clay back in the days.
Oh, yeah.
And he went and fought him. And that was just a beginning for Cassius Clay back then in the days when in the early 60s. I remember when he won the Golden Gloves, the National Golden Gloves at the old Madison Square Garden on 55th Street and 8th Avenue. If you some of the old-timers watching out there, I'm not an old-timer, but I remember those days. Hey,
you're
man.
Not an old-timer.
Yeah, no, hell no, man. I'm hey, people say, yo, Joe, how young are you? See, I like that. I'm not old, man. I still got a little spark of the old Flash.
I've seen him.
I seen him.
No, I've seen you with the shadow boxing.
Oh yeah, I got a little spark of the old Flash.
I see him do it. Look at him. You know? My favorite part.
Oh man, but I'll tell you, I can do that.
You need to say
I can do that triple uppercut like Lomachenko.
You taught him that, I think.
You need to say like I do. You need to say like I do. When people ask me how old are you, I start in the last century. That's it.
yeah, exactly. No, you know. People say, how old are you, Joe? I say, listen, no, please don't say how old am I, because you know what? You're only as young as you feel. You're only as old as you feel. Let's put it that way, because I feel young all the time. I don't know how long I'll be around, but I'll tell you one thing. But right now, I feel like I'll be around forever, you know? Yeah. I still feel like I still got, like I said, a little spark of the old Flash. Hey, you know, when I was fighting, guys, I was only a flyweight, 112 pounder, when I won my first Golden Glove Championship in New York as a novice. And my brother won as a featherweight.
112.
I won the Nationals in Chicago State.
Same
Chicago.
Weight? 112?
No, 118. There you go. Open division. A year later, I was the youngest guy on the New York team. And I remember we beat Chicago 9-6. And I ended up beating a guy that had beaten Emmanuel Stewart. May he rest in peace. A great Manny Stewart.
Oh, wow.
I beat a guy named Oscar German at the old Chicago Stadium. I was 17 years old. I went in there. I looked at this guy. I said, this guy's a man. He had his wife, and he had two or three kids with him.
Oh, my God.
And I said, wow, I'm proud of this guy, this old man. To me, I said, he's an old man because he was 25. I was only a little young
25
kid.
25 is old when you're 17.
Yeah. So anyway, the thing was that I ended up winning. My brother and I both won the National Golden Glove Championships. It was called the Intercity Bouts, New York versus Chicago. And Mike beat a fighter by the name of Tommy O'Shea, some of the O'Shea brothers. You guys out of the Chicago area, you know, the O'Shea brothers, they had Tommy O'Shea, Brian O'Shea.
Tommy O'Shea.
Yes. Okay. And my brother Mike ended up beating Tommy O'Shea. And I walked away with a victory. One of my easiest fights, even though it was for the Nationals, didn't get hit. I was just a good, slick boxer. Hit, don't get hit was the name of the game for me. I was like a kind of guy, I didn't want to get hit. I had broken my jaw when I was a kid, fell off a wall. Broke my jaw on both sides. I was always careful about not wanting to get hit because I was afraid that maybe they'll tag me.
That's still the craziest story that happened to you.
Yeah, but you know what? It was part of growing up, and thank God when I fell off that wall, I landed on my chin on the side of my head and ended up getting killed. But anyway,
yeah.
Hey, you guys, young guys up there, I sent a little text message yesterday because my heart is with your kids out there today. A kid was being bullied in school, and he was really crying a lot on FaceTime and talking how they beat him up and this and that all the time. I sent him a nice text telling him they used to do the same thing to me when I grew up on 99th Street, Manhattan, Park in Madison. And there was these guys who always beat me up. I see these guys coming. They would chase me down the street. When I became Golden Glove champion, you know what? Them guys, they were running for me. They were coming and saying, hey, Joe, hey, Mike, you know? Now we're heroes in the neighborhood. So for anybody, you got kids out there, any friends or children of your own that are being bullied, take him into the local gyms. Get him started with the boxing program. And you know what? It'll build their confidence level up, their self-esteem.
Yeah.
They feel good about themselves. And you know what? They become local heroes like my brother and I did. And that got me on the right track, got me started. And you fans out there know that's what you got to go out there and help these kids out, because it is so sad when you see these kids being bullied, whether girls or guys. You got to go out there and reach and help them out. Carlos, Once again, it was nice talking to you, brother. You're a good guy.
No, it's an honor for me. Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate it a lot.
And we got John Zimmer here.
Hey, it was a pleasure talking to you, man.
And John, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Carlo, we'll talk to you guys.
And the guy in the producer, Charlie.
Oh, Charlie. Hey, my man, Charlie.
Charlie, we should shout out Charlie more often.
Hey, Charlie, Charlie's our technical guy today, man.
Charlie does it all.
You need to mention him.
Come on,
Charlie. Come on,
Charlie. Come on here. Come on here.
Charlie, who's watching the monitor?
There you go.
There he is.
Hey, Charlie. Hey, Charlie is a professional singer. He plays the guitar. He's like a Carlos Santana. He gets down. Look at him. He gets down. He does his thing.
Charlie, the rock boy.
Yeah, Charlie. He makes it all possible.
I call
him
the rock star.
Charlie, the rock star.
Yeah, you see Charlie. Guys. You can check him out. Charlie. They call him
Charlie Rocks.
Charlie Rocks, man.
Yeah. You Charlie on Rocks. Facebook or how do you? If you want to,
where you at, Charlie?
CharlieRock.com.
CharlieRocks.com.
CharlieRock.com.
You see the guy? You can see him. You know, he can play that guitar. You think it's Carlos Santana out there playing sometimes, you know?
He played good.
Yeah, he played really good. Yeah.
I've heard his samples.
Yeah. All right, guys, if Carlos and the fans out there, muchas gracias, saludos a todos por estar escuchándonos. Thanks, you fans out there, for listening to us. John Zimmer, Joe Cortez, hasta la vista, baby. Catch you next week. Thank you very much. Catch you guys next week. Watch us on Fair But Firm Show. On FaceTime, you can listen to us on Audio Boom. You can see us on iTunes.
We're not Google Play.
Hey, guys, it's
Facebook.
And retweet it out there, guys. Joe, just put down Fair But Firm Show, and you'll see Joe Cortez, Hall of Fame boxing referee, sidekick here, John Zimmer. We love you guys. Take care. Carlos.
See you next week. We're doing a recap.
Take care.
Hey, thank you very much.
Take care.